Vogri Pogri is a festival of creativity and curious happenings. From Friday 13th to Sunday 15th of September 2024, inspired by the beautiful natural setting of Vogri Country Park. Both campers and day visitors are welcome. It features open-air performances and creative happenings from over 150 artists in a celebration of new work. It's a 30-minute drive just outside the city of Edinburgh, or it's an hour and 20 minutes by train. It's free if you're on foot or bicycle. There's a free shuttle bus from Gore Bridge Railway Station. Otherwise, it's a £5 car parking fee, and early bird camping tickets start at £30 for adults and £5 for kids. You can find out more at vogripogri.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Season 2 of the Irish Podcast.
In this episode, we'll be talking about all things Edinburgh and the Fringe.
Janes of Edern, with five fringes under her belt, whilst Cormac worked the Fringe for the first time in 2023.
Whether you're planning a trip outside of Fringe season, or an artist visiting Fringe for the first time,
we've got something for everyone!
Everyone!
Well, hello, hello, the big Edinburgh special!
Big Edinburgh special.
Months later. We've been trying to figure out how to organise this particular podcast, because some people will be coming for the Fringe, some people will be working the Fringe, and some people will be coming outside of the Fringe and have absolutely no interest in it. So this episode is broken down into our typical transport, accommodation, food, fun. But within each section, we'll have a non-fringe bit and a fringe bit. For workers of the Fringe, this is still of interest because it will show you, like, we'll tell you, like, where to stay and where's good to eat and where's good to drink. But we'll do a whole little bonus episode about getting a job at the Fringe, money expectations, all that kind of stuff. So still of interest, but this is mostly for people who are visiting Edinburgh, the punters.
I think it's very important to save as well for any American listeners, which we do have a few, who haven't a clue what the Fringe is or word we're saying. The Fringe Festival. I'll let you explain as you're the veteran.
Okay, yes, that's fair. So in August, in Edinburgh, there is the Festival Fringe, and it is the biggest fringe festival in the world. Thousands and thousands of artists, everything from circus to dance to comedians, everyone disperses on Edinburgh. The city actually grows from 1 million people to 4 million people in August. And I believe that there was like 3,600 shows a day on in its largest year. So yeah, it's just every little pub, every venue has a show, a different show going on every hour. And it's people trying to make it. It's people trying to build their shows. There's street performers, there's circus, there's family, it's everything. And also going on at the same time is the Edinburgh Arts Festival, which is a little bit more highbrow. We won't be mentioning that in this one. The reason that we're so focused on the Fringe is just because I've worked it so often and now Cormac has worked it. And then there's also the book festival going on. There's a media festival. Just August is the season of festivals, but the Fringe is definitely in your face. Artists handing you leaflets. You can't walk down the Royal Mile without 10,000 people just screaming at you to come to their show.
There is giant circus towns set up everywhere, pop-up venues that only exist during August. So if any of you whiskey lovers are trying to go to Edinburgh to get a few distillery tours, be warned, it's
pretty
crazy.
Hectic. You're going to have like a clown coming up to you being like, come and see my off-the-rails comedy show, 1 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, that's what the Fringe is. That's a good shout, Bob. I forget that it's so within my...
Yeah, so within your realm, you forget that people... Because I've mentioned it to people in my job, and they're and I was like, oh yeah, I worked the Fringe Festival. They're like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh, I have to explain the entirety of what it is.
Essentially, it's like the biggest arts festival in the world.
It's for any of the largest comedians in Great Britain.
And the baby ones. They all come from all over the world, so it's absolutely amazing.
This is where you get your start, basically, in the...
In the industry. Retreat.
Like pilgrimage.
Yes, it's the annual pilgrimage for artists.
For artists and comedians,
Sorry, my brain is not quite working this morning. So
please explain your Fringe experience.
Yes, so I believe my first year was in 2012, 2013. I was dating a comedian at the time. He was going to the Fringe. we split up. My best friend was still going to work the Fringe, and I was like, I'm going to go do it. I was doing my master's at the time, which was in arts policy and practice. And of course, you have to go and do the Fringe if you're working in the arts or to see the Fringe. Yeah. So my first year, I was a little lowly flyer. I was handing out flyers on the street for magic kids' magic shows and amazing. For different artists. And I ended up becoming the street team leader because I was very enthusiastic and essentially not going and smoking for
no one else half wanted my to shift. Do it.
Nobody else wanted to do it. So I really got the buzz, and a lot of my friends got the buzz, and I got to meet some interesting people. And then I ended up working a little bit more in the comedy industry. I went to do a couple of the Fringes in Australia. And then I came back. I was a street team manager for about 18 flyers for Live Nation. Not the best experience. I'll talk about that in the bonus. And then I came across a wonderful group who were running the Blunderbuss site. We've got some crazy thunder and lightning happening, so we apologize if you can hear it. Hopefully the post-production will tidy it up, but it might not. But yeah, so Bob and Lucy and the Blunderbuss, I met them. They programmed off-the-wall crazy artists. And I really enjoyed their ethos of, they weren't, you know, in the Fringe, the Big Four, which we'll talk about later in the episode. You know, these companies just try and steal money off artists, and it's absolutely horrible. Whereas I loved the ethos of this company. Bob and Lucy were so accommodating to artists. They had a really like LGBT friendly space, and they were just absolutely amazing. So I worked for them my last two Fringes just before COVID, and then in 2023. And then you came with me for the 2023 one.
I came along. Why not? You know, just I was like, that'd be a cool experience. Do they need a bartender? And I think you just simply said it to Bob. Would you like a bartender on site who has 9 years experience at the time?
Yeah. So the two of us went over. We were running this site just off Potter Row, and it was a double decker bus and a big Spiegel yurt. And we had maybe 16 shows on a day that we were taking in and out, and a bar and a food truck. And we had an absolute blast. But we'll talk
it was about an incredible experience. Yeah. Absolutely. One of the best months of work. Hard work, long days, but so much fun, and meeting so many people from like every walk of life you'd ever imagine.
Yeah, it was great for you to kind of see behind the curtain a little bit of my job. And it was great for me to be on the ground. Again, we're living in Florence, and I work remote a lot of the time. So sometimes it's just great to have that little touchstone.
So let's get into the episode.
All right. How do we get to Edinburgh, love?
Edinburgh.
How do we get there?
How do you get there? You can fly into Edinburgh Airport, or if it can be cheaper to just fly into Glasgow and get a train from Glasgow to Edinburgh as well. Once you get to the Edinburgh airport, it's super simple. You can get a bus, you can get a tram, or you can get a train. What? They all bring you right into the city centre.
Not that long at all. I think it was like 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Yeah. Maximum. If you
depending
get
on where you're going in the city.
Yeah. If you get a slow train, maybe it'll take maximum an hour. But yeah. And then to get from Glasgow to Edinburgh, it takes just over an hour. Although I think they have fast speed trains now. So, but yeah, super, super connected. Not like Galway or anywhere
not
in
like
Ireland. But yeah. So there's a big train station in the middle of Edinburgh. So there's trains going all the time. Their tram line's really good. And their buses are super cheap. So how you get
absolutely
there.
Brilliant.
So accommodation.
Break down Edinburgh a little bit for people when we're saying old town and new town.
Okay, so there's two sides of the town, separated by bridges or a big garden or the train station.
The train station, I think, is the easiest. As a first timer in Edinburgh, it was like the train station cuts through the center of the town. One side is old town. The other side of Newtown.
Yeah, pretty much like the north side is the new town.
Yeah.
The south side is the old town. I love old town. It's much more, well, old and medievally, and you know, it has
the Harry Potter side of town where like the inspiration. For people who don't know as well, that's where Harry Potter basically was.
Yeah, you'll see the big castle on the hill. That was the inspiration for Hogwarts and all that. So, and there's Harry Potter tours going on the whole time. But yeah, you can really get a feel for it. It does feel like Harry Potter come to life. They've started to really capitalize on it now, and it's a bit too touristy, in my opinion.
A little bit too fringe.
Sure, they have to make their money out of fringe season.
People love it. People love it.
But I'd recommend staying in Old Town, or if you want to stay somewhere a little bit cheaper, I'd recommend going out to Leith. Leith is on the north side. It's near Newtown. It used to be very run down, very dilapidated, was very rough, but completely gentrified now. It's the place to be, hipster bars, all the rest of it.
Michelin star restaurants, some of the chefs that I follow, like from the Great British Menu and stuff like that, mm-hmm. they all have restaurants down there.
Yeah, so
seafood is meant to be incredible.
We hate Airbnb. We mm-hmm. hate what it's doing for like the housing market across yeah. Europe and across the world, really. But, you know, if you're on a budget, then staying in Old Town or staying in Leith in an Airbnb is really good. If you want to stay in an old school hotel, we stayed in the Royal Scots Club. And for the value for money, especially during the Fringe, it was really good. Good location just on Newtown.
We were very lucky as well because we got delayed massively on our flights. So we had to ring the hotel and tell them. And they said that late check-in will not be a problem. There would be a porter on duty all night.
We didn't get in until about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we arrived in and then like at just before midnight, I think. And then we went out again to meet our bosses. And you gave me a little night tour of the city. And then, yeah, the porter was like, yeah, no problem at all. I'll be here. Just knock on the door.
Staff are lovely. The breakfast looked nice, even though we didn't make it for breakfast. But yeah, just a really simple hotel book of value.
Yeah, nice and quiet. Good clean rooms. Mm-hmm. Would definitely recommend.
If you're on a super budget, outside of the Fringe hostel world, just check out that website. There's lots of hostels in Edinburgh and they're cheap as chips outside of the Fringe. During the Fringe though, so if you're coming for the Fringe, if you're coming for a long stint or more than a couple of days, I would check out any of the student accommodation. They do nightly, they do weekends, they do weeks, or you can do the full Fringe. Or just join some Facebook groups. People are always, during the Fringe, literally everybody just up sticks that's a local and they put their apartment up for rent. So those Facebook groups can be kind of a good way to find ones that are, you know, cash under.
When would you recommend booking your accommodation?
January
already.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. So the Fringe is in August. You got to start planning around Christmas time.
So if anyone's listening to this now and you're thinking of going, book it now, start looking up the prices because it is
absolutely
crazy.
And just be careful of scams, that's all we can say. Have a bit of common sense about you. But yeah, sometimes you can get really lucky, sometimes you can't. I'll talk about it more in the work episode, but I got scammed and yeah, it's just absolutely horrible. So keep your wits about you. But if you know anybody living in Edinburgh, just ask them and they'll be like, we can't help you. Just keep bugging them. Just
keep going.
Like, I'll sleep on your floor. But yeah, accommodation as a whole in Edinburgh can be very, very tough during the Fringe season. But there's lots of lovely hotels outside of that time.
Yeah.
Food.
Glorious food.
Oh my God, the food is so good, Edinburgh. I actually miss it so much.
Yeah, there's an incredible, like, selection of different cuisines in Edinburgh, which are all really high quality, which I have to say for a city I love, because I always change my appetites every day. Like some days I want Indian, some days I want Chinese or like Japanese ramen food.
We like a real mix of stuff.
And then obviously if you want fried food.
Yes, there's lots of fried food.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm going to touch on Union of Genius is my favorite place to get a bowl of soup. It's kind of like a vegan vegetarian restaurant, although they have some meat options, but they just have six soups a day. And you just go in, you can get your soup, you can get your type of bread. It's quite pricey, but oh my God, sometimes you just need vegetables.
The quality is insane.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And it's always busy. It was always busy when we were there. Whenever we walked past it, I noticed, I was like, okay, for a soup place to be always busy.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really
good I'd recommend getting the soup and your bread for takeaway and then rocking down to a place called The Meadows. This is just a really beautiful park that's just down the road. So that's the top tip. If you're looking for just like a quick, easy grab and go breakfast bap, Bobby's is also in a pretty central location. They've got a few seats outside, but it's always busy with locals. I think it's fairly priced. And if you want like a bacon buddy or
I got a little like bagel there, little like breakfast bagel, and it was unbelievable. It was only like £4 or £5 as well, so.
Yeah, it's cheap and the people are nice, so yeah. I'd recommend Bobby's.
I would definitely recommend Moss Kitchen, and you introduced me to it, and it is absolutely amazing.
A Fringe staple, essentially.
Fringe staple.
But there's three Moss Kitchens. They're an Indian restaurant. They're super, super cheap. It is no bells and whistles. You're going in. Sometimes they're on a paper plate or in a plastic container. But I would recommend the Mosque Kitchen. That's just directly behind the mosque. So there's three, two are in a square and one's just behind it near the mosque. So go to that one because they've got a little outdoor seating. And yeah, like £5 and you can get a huge curry and rice.
You just go in and there's two guys behind bamboreens and all the bamboreens are just full of delicious goodness. And it is absolutely high quality, really tasty, very cheap, nice people. And yeah, it's just comfort. Comfort food when you just want something.
Fills you up for the pints.
Oh yeah, they give you a portion and a half, which is kind of normal across Edinburgh. They really like their big portions, like us Irish as well.
Yeah.
You know, we don't fuck around with small plates.
The next place is a ramen place. Quite pricey, but oh my God, it's the best ramen I've ever had in my life. Ikigai. So we'll leave it in the description. It's just on one of the main streets. Doesn't look like much from the outside, to be perfectly honest.
No, it just looks like a kind of normal little restaurant. But as an avid ramen lover, I got recommendations off my friend and he recommended this place. Mm-hmm. He's a chef and I was very, very impressed. It was probably the best ramen I've had in a couple of years.
The broth was absolutely stunning and they have an amazing takeaway thing. They have a container that specifically keeps the dried goods from the wet goods. It's really well made.
It was very well, like specifically made container for the takeaway, which kept everything nice and
super fresh. Yeah. So yeah, Ikigai, a little bit expensive, but definitely worth it if you're craving a bit of comfort. The next one is Bread Meets Bread. We actually didn't make it to Bread Meets Bread, but it was always busy, but there was always a table there.
So this was another recommendation from my chef friend, and he said it was one of the best places just to go and get either burgers or just like toasted sandwiches on a massive scale. And it is what it is. Bread Meets Bread.
Yeah, it looks absolutely amazing. So that's definitely high up on our list when we go back.
Yeah.
For brunch, we love a brunch.
We love a good brunch. We went to this lovely place called Pappy, which was really, really lovely.
It's in Newtown. So if you're stuck up in Newtown for whatever reason, if you're doing a bit of shopping or I don't know why you'd be up in Newtown,
they do like the classic Eggs Benedict. They do their own little sourdough rolls, which are really good, like teriyaki chicken.
Amazing
like
wraps. Yeah.
Really cool wraps.
So have to highly recommend Pappy. And it was, we went just as they were closing and they were still really accommodating as well.
Yeah, extremely accommodating.
So the final honorable mention is really silly, but we've been craving it for so long and it's KFC. We love a bit of fried chicken.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, we were living in Italy for a long time. They don't really have any chain fried chicken places. We found some nice fried chicken places since, but you just can't beat a bit of KFC. It was always my special treat dinner when I was a kid. We'd always go out every like second Sunday and get a KFC.
Yeah, family bucket. And sometimes we'd be working, you know, up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And that 1 a.m. would hit and you'd just be like, I just want fried food. So
yeah,
there's two KFCs, one in Old Town, one in Newtown. I particularly like the one in Newtown. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but sometimes if you're just craving a bit of a taste at home, that KFC is just unreal.
It made me very happy on several occasions.
So now we move on to the actual business. Pubs. There's lots of pubs. We love the pub culture in Edinburgh. We really miss the pub culture and it's definitely been something in our own heads that's been like, maybe we will move to Edinburgh someday because
the pubs really were the like what caught us in the sense of like the atmosphere and the different styles of bars, styles of service. Like we're just, there's literally something for absolutely everyone in Edinburgh, which I love.
I will say again, I've really only visited Edinburgh during the Fringe during the Fringe season. Oh my God, the thunder is crazy. But a lot of places stay open a lot later for the Fringe and they got extended licenses and all that. So maybe some of these places won't be as hip happening, but these are just bars that we like. So straight up is Banshee's Labyrinth. It's like all these different caves and all that you go in and it's like a,
It is what it is. It's a labyrinth.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you walk up the stairs to the main bar, and then the main bar is only 5 or 6 meters long, 3 or 4 meters wide, and then immediately there's stairs leading off each side to different little rooms.
They've got a cinema room. They've got a gig room downstairs, but it is a labyrinth. There's a map
There's a map in the bar to show you where to go to find which room. So if your friends are sitting in one room, they'll be able to tell you where they are.
But it's dark dungeons, no reception once you get into the building.
Zero reception.
But yeah, I love Banshees and they do a nice pint and the staff are nice.
Yeah.
Next up is you like Captain's Bar.
I love Captain's Bar. Captain's Bar is a very traditional old school mahogany bar. Just walk in, bar's right there on the right hand side, narrow little room, few tables, couple of bar stools.
Live music every day.
Live music every day. I don't know if that's just for Fringe or is
they
that...
They do live music on the weekends, on outside of the Fringe. But yeah, it's like any rural Irish pub.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere.
But the music in there is unbelievable. They have like these same kind of old fellas with their guitars who like meeting up and having their cups of tea, even not even pints.
Yeah, and the staff are absolutely unreal.
The staff
as well.
Are incredible, absolutely incredible.
It's a nice clean bar as well.
Yeah, no, I have to say, Captain's is one of my favourites.
So going from a very traditional bar to a very crazy bar.
To a very, very different bar, Mortal Cocktail. It's meant to be a play on Mortal Kombat because they are an arcade bar. So they have like loads of pinball machines. They have loads of Mortal Kombat games. They have loads of different things.
Loads of vintage.
Games, Pac-Man, Space Invader, like all that kind of stuff. So really kind of like just fun bar. If you want to blow off a bit of steam, play a bit of games.
If it's raining, it's really good fun.
Yeah, there's not that much seating inside. There's a few little snugs and then the bar counter and then the games rooms. Two game rooms as you come in. One on the left, which is just for pinballs. Which apparently they've even hosted like pinball leagues.
Tournaments.
People have come over because there is literally five or six pinball machines in a row against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
They've hosted tournaments there. So it's down a really small side alley.
It's on Cockburn Street. It's just off the Royal Mile. And it seems to be a place where a lot of industry, like hospitality workers go. So that's always a good sign. Good selection of beer, good selection of cocktails.
Yep.
A little bit pricey, but
you get what you paid for, in fairness.
The next place might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it's called Bannerman's. It's a little bit like a rock bar. It's down in Cowgate. If you're just looking for a quiet pint, now once the Fringe hits, they do have shows. But if you come a few days before the Fringe or if you come outside of Fringe season, rough, ready, cheap pints. Nice and quiet. I just can't recommend it enough. It feels like a little cozy.
It was the first bar you brought me to when we got there, and I loved it instantly. I thought it was really cool. They had like this little seating area in front of the bar with like leather armchairs, and you were beside a fire, and it was just...
And there seems to be a lot of locals that drink
a lot of locals there, yeah.
But yeah, if you're just looking for cheap, cozy pint,
because it's like underneath a bridge by like an overpass kind of thing. Because you'll see that in Edinburgh, there's all the different levels to the city,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like it's one of those where you just kind of don't know it's there. Like it's hard to find it.
Yeah, but it's a nice little.
But
spot.
It's like beautiful little pub,
mm-hmm.
really good beer selection as well. I have to say.
The next one is Brass Monkey, also filled with locals. They do trivia nights outside of the Fringe.
Yeah.
I think they also host like karaoke or open mic some nights. The front section is just like a regular bar. And then if you go out the back, there's like kind of...
It's weird. It's basically a big lounge couch room.
With beds almost.
But it's like they're beds. They are leather beds, which saying it out loud sounds really weird.
Yeah.
But it's just like for literally lying down and drinking. They have these little counters that run through the beds, put your beers on, and people just chill back there. And
yeah.
I'd say outside of Fringe, it's probably just people chilling, reading books,
on the weekends,
doing a bit of work.
On the weekends, it can be quite busy, and it seems to be like a local spot as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like Brass Monkey, and during the Fringe, it's a nice place to just, if you want to go in, grab a quick pint.
If you want to lie down and have a pint, if you're tired, yeah. Great.
It's really good.
Sounds low.
Oh, yeah. So do you want to talk about Doctors?
I really, really like Doctors. Doctors was a very traditional corner pub, kind of Victorian style, big
like
open windows, gastro pub. Yeah, they did lots of traditional food, fish and chips, roast dinners, your classics. Really good professional bar team, I have to say. Like, as soon as I walked in, you could tell that these lads were...
Hi, how are you? How is it going?
20 years experience, you know, can I get this? Ah, no, you won't like that shite. I recommend this instead. Oh, sound. Good man yourself, here you go. Like, very just clear, forward. Immediately I said to you, I was like, I really like the bartenders here. They were a good show.
We definitely go there if we were living in Edinburgh. Like, that would be a little local.
And I had little corner tables outside that wrapped around the bar as well. That you kind of people watch a little bit. You were in a main road for traffic, but mm-hmm. it was still a nice people watching corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, just very highly professionally run. Very classic pub.
Good location, and not at night time very busy, but during the day, if you're looking for a slightly quieter pint and you're in that area.
And you want a bit of classic lunch, perfect place to go.
The next one, he's kind of like Banshees, is Frankenstein. So yep. The whole theme of the bar is Frankenstein. So there's a huge Frankenstein when you walk in. I don't know. I love in Edinburgh that it's kind of like that Harry Potter feel, that like, you know, dungeony feel. That and Frankenstein's is just a dark craft beery kind of pub. The staff are pretty good as well. I don't know. It's fun to go for one or two pints. Yeah. It's like a novelty.
It's bar. A fun place. Yeah, in fairness.
They do have shows downstairs during the Fringe as well. So just be careful of that. But upstairs, the bar is quite large. And yeah, they do cocktails, big selection of beer. Mm. And yeah, it's just a novelty to go for
novelty bar. Yeah, it's perfect.
And then finally, my late night. This is only now, lads, if you're really on the session.
Sneaky Pete's. I literally have forgotten about it until we started recording this episode. And now, moments ago, I just realized, I was hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sneaky Pete's is very much the end of the night. Get the last couple of drinks in. Pissed. You have to be very drunk, I think, to be there.
Yeah, they do gigs in there. And yeah, it's just a late night, kind of half nightclub, half bar.
Yeah.
You rock in, place filthy, £1 vodka shots. But yeah,
if you're looking, down in Cowgate, isn't it?
Yeah, in Cowgate. And it stays open, I believe, until 5 o'clock in the morning during Fringe. And then outside of it, I think it stays open until 3.
Meant.
So yeah, Sneaky Beats if you're looking for a late night. If you're being a sesh mongrel and you're deciding to go for a couple of extra pints. When you're already in it and you know the hangover is going to be bad anyway.
When you're all in, all the chips are on the table.
So during the Fringe, we like a quiet pint.
Yeah. Especially if you're working, you know.
We were lucky enough that sometimes we could get our lunches off to get, well, our lunches at, you know, 10 p.m. But, you know, we'd always just want that quick run. We have less than an hour. Grab 2 pints. Yeah. Where can you go? So where's nice and quiet? So the Teviot is the university building, which hosts Gilded Balloon, which is pretty much the biggest central venue of the Fringe.
Yeah.
But just when you're coming up to the main doorway on the right hand side, there's a basement bar called the Library Bar, and they have about 5 little little picnic benches there, and they're usually free.
You can't see them from outside unless you turn the corner and walk down the steps. So it's right beside the main entrance, so people kind of don't know whether you can go down there. So we discovered this and we went down and realized that, like, usually we would get a park bench.
It was my haunt when I was first flyering, because I'd be waiting to get ticket sales from the main office. So I found it a couple of years ago. But yeah, people just haven't clocked on yet. So
go there, but don't go there too much. We will be there.
Exactly. And it does stay open until 5 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah, which is amazing. The staff got to know us very, very quickly. And as well, it was right around the corner from where we were working.
Yes. So that is just during the Fringe. It stays open until 5 o'clock. And then it's just called the Library Bar during regular term time.
It's a uni bar.
It's a student uni bar, the next place during the Fringe is Summer Hall. Mm-hmm. It was the kind of the Australians took it over last year, or I think for the last 2 years. Summer Hall, there's lots of different venues, Fringe venues, lots of shows going on. But out the back, they have a gorgeous little garden bar.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They do brunch out there. They have like a little barbecue kiosk and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Bar. It's on the other side. It's south of the Meadows, so it's a little bit of a walk. But if you're looking for just somewhere peaceful, if the weather is good,
it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, a little bit pricey, but it was well worth it for the, like, kind of, you're sitting out in the backyard and you're kind of burnt in Edinburgh.
Yeah. And then finally, it's right by the Royal Mile, and there were shows going on all the time, but Whistle Binkies, we always got a seat there. I think just outside of the Fringe, it usually just stays open until 1 or 2. During the Fringe, sometimes they'd stay open till 3, sometimes till 4, but they were a little bit off with their hours, so we would never go there after work in case it was closed.
Sometimes they would close early if they weren't that busy, so it's just like it wasn't worth the punch to walk up and not get in.
Yeah.
And then I have to walk all the way back, so that's why the Library Bar was always there.
Mm-hmm. But Whistle Binkies is, look, it's cheap, it's cheerful, there's always a few shows going on, you can always rock into a show. If you don't like it, you can head out straight away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a little bit, it's just 2 doors up from Banshee's Labyrinth as well. But yeah, I just, very simple bar, go in, have a pint.
I liked it. We sat down, had a few pints with a few celebs. It's great.
Yeah. It's a fab location though.
No, it's brilliant.
We also got a Whistle Binkies card. So
I got that from a customer in our bar, was one of their main bartenders, and I gave him a discount because he was in the service industry. And that was kind of our thing. Service industry during the fringe looks after each other, and we give each other the cards for discounts. And yeah, he gave us two cards.
Yeah, apparently they work all year round as well. So we passed them on,
them on for safety.
Yeah, so if you can grab a Whistle Binkies card, or if you see somebody with a black Whistle Binkies card going up to the bar, then just hand them some cash and they will, they'll buy you cheaper pints.
Will they though?
They might. If you're very nice.
If you're very charming.
Yeah. So fun. We're going to break the fun section into two. The first fun section will be outside of the fringe all year round. And then the second part is obviously fringe.
Yar.
But fun. Calton Hill. If you're not arsed walking up the big gigantic hill, Calton Hill is a smaller place that you can go up and you just get a beautiful view of the city. So people go up there, they go bush and they bring a few cans and go drinking up there. And it's just a nice place. Used to be the best place to watch the closing arts festival fireworks.
Yeah.
However, they don't seem to be doing those anymore since COVID, which is a huge shame. Although I know
noise complaints
and environment and all that. But I do really miss it was such an end of the fringe staple to go up and watch those fireworks. Yeah. But Calton Hill, still a beautiful place to rock up. And if it's sunny, even better. The next one we kind of touched on, the accommodation, is Leith. So even your friends were giving lots of recommendations for bars and restaurants out there. Totally gentrified. It's where all the new hip happening places are. And it's where a lot of the young folk have started moving out there and living there.
Yeah, we got a few recommendations from both of our like mutual friends.
Who live in Edinburgh all year round.
Yeah, we're just like, oh yeah, no, that bar. Oh, you know that bar? Yeah, that's brilliant. That's the best place to go. Where do you go in Leeds? Oh, this bar. So I don't know the name of it because we kind of lost it. But
the whole way along Leeds, there's lots of different bars and restaurants. So it used to be a little bit dodgy. It's not so dodgy anymore. Completely gentrified. And it's nice. It's just, if you want to escape during the fringe, just go out to Leith, even though the shows are starting to creep out there now, but it's not as
just
bad.
Just a little bit.
The next one is the Museum of Childhood. If it's pissing rain and you want to kill an hour or two, I believe it's less than £5 if it's not free sometimes. And it's really creepy. There's like a whole room of porcelain dolls. Yeah. It's like got all these like kind of, it's like a mix of medieval toys and toys from the 90s. And it's just a really bizarre.
Don't bring me there. I'm glad like this section is just about you, because I was never brought to the Museum of Childhood.
It wouldn't be your cup of tea,
no,
I think.
No,
I've been there twice. I really like it. It's a good way to kill an hour or two. And yeah, if you're just into old toys or gadgets, it's the place to go. The next one is the hop on, hop off bus. I usually recommend those for every city that we go to, except for Florence. It's shit in Florence because the bus can't fit into the city.
Yeah, the bus can't come into the city centre. Well,
it's so pretty rough.
You'll see nothing.
But the hop-on, hop-off bus in Edinburgh is really good. It brings you all around the outskirts of the city as well. And yeah, it's just, you know, just get the cheapest one, usually around £10, book it online in advance. All the tour guides are pretty gas as well. They're good crack. So good way to kill about 2 hours.
The one I did do, though, was for any Harry Potter fans, there is obviously the Harry Potter tours that bring you on a walk around the city and kind of bring you to a Harry Potter store that's kind of basically based on Ollivander's, the famous wand shop. But they also have the original, like, Tom Riddle's grave that a lot of people go to. Oh, you Voldemort fella.
Yeah. So a lot of people,
if you like Harry Potter, there's a lot of stuff to do there.
Yeah.
And you can go to the graveyards and all the different, you know, the castle and everything that inspired Hogwarts. And yeah.
Yeah, just if you're a millennial or a Gen Zer who is obsessed with Harry Potter, then obviously
give it a look.
Edinburgh is the spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
The National Museum of Scotland is, again, if it's piss and rain, it's free. Go in. There's loads of different stuff. There's Dolly the Sheep, which is mad. If you don't know Dolly the Sheep, just have a bit of a Google. But yeah, there's a couple of really interesting bits. And again, if it's raining and you're on a budget, head into the National Museum.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's actually where that Harry Potter shop is, just Victoria Street. It's an absolutely gorgeous street.
It's beautiful, yeah.
It's where everyone goes to take their Instagram photos now. They've started painting it in really colourful. They started painting all the buildings really colourfully now.
It's gorgeous.
And yeah, it's just fab to just walk up it. You just feel like you're in Edinburgh. So
yeah, the atmosphere is incredible.
So, fringe fun. How do you find a show to go to in the fringe? How do you choose from the 3,000? How do you pick up the big feckin' phone book or look on the app and you're like, what am I going to go and see? I would recommend myself personally to avoid the big four, which is Assembly, Gilded Balloon, Pleasance or Underbelly. They just absolutely nail their artists for money. The artists walk away losing thousands. It's not very fair. It's just people getting into those
they just join them and they think that it's going to sell them the world and sell them their dream. They're going to get all the PR and all the crowds. And instead, you know, they're put into a 30-seater shite venue and, you know, they don't make their money back. They end up losing a lot with the chance of maybe being on Channel 4.
And it's kind of where all the headliners go as well, like to the underbelly and everything like that. So, I
prefer to go and see The Weird and the Wonderful. So I would recommend going to see some Monkey Barrel shows. Monkey Barrel, they've branched out now to a couple of different venues. But Julia Masley, she won the Edinburgh Fringe in 2023, a crazy kind of clown show. Also, Spencer Jones would be, you love Spencer Jones now as well.
You brought me there last year and it was my favourite comedy show that I've seen.
Yes.
Like, weird, 100%.
Weird, Wonderful. Monkey Barrel shows are generally quite cheap as well. And they do a really good late night compilation show. It's after midnight and it's just all the artists that are part of Monkey Barrel. It changes every night. So sometimes you can just go and see someone for 5-10 minutes. You can walk in, walk out of the show. You don't have to stay for the whole lot, but sometimes you might see someone for 5 minutes and be like, they were really good. And then you can go and see their show. So Monkey Barrel is definitely a place to go and have a look. Fringe staple is on the Irish side is Paul Curry. He is a crazy clown. It's a non-verbal show. It's absolutely,
it was
mad.
Hilarious. It's just madness. You don't know what's coming next. He pulls people up from the audience all the time to be part of the show, and it's just hilarious to see the interactions.
Yeah,
because it's someone on stage trying to get you to do stuff.
Yeah, I've been
saying any words.
I've been following Paul for 8-9 years now, and I was actually Paul's venue manager back in 2019, and I did his all ages show and his late night show. No, I didn't do his late night show, actually, just his all ages show during the day. But yeah, Paul is just a crazy Irish clown.
Yeah.
And just go and see it. It's an absolutely fantastic show. The show is about 50 minutes long and it's a pay what you want show. Paul does tend to sell out a lot towards the end of the Fringe. So if you're coming in the third or fourth week, just book it in advance. It'll cost you £5 to reserve your seat. I think that that's definitely worth it.
I noticed that a lot when we went to his show, there was a lot of other artists going at that time as well. And that was in like the second to third week.
The next venue I'd recommend is Banshee's Labyrinth. Again, go there for a pint, but it's where Richard Gadd, I think everybody knows Richard Gadd's name now. He is the man who came up with the Netflix series Baby Reindeer, which is number one across Netflix right now. I've been following Richard's career, I've been following Richard's career since 2014, I believe. I've seen him 3 times at the Fringe. I always knew he was someone special. I'm absolutely delighted that he's gone as far as he's gone now. But yeah, he was always just playing in Banshee's little 60-seater room and the queues that I waited in to go and see that man. But yeah, Banshee's always have weird and wonderful stuff going on. There's a pop-up show that has been running on and off for the last couple of years. It only comes maybe once during the Fringe. It's called Consignia. And it is just the weirdest show you're ever going to see. They actually just had it on at lunchtime randomly this year, or in 2023. But if you can look for Consignia, just go into Banshee's and ask them when it's on, because it'll just be a once-off pop-up. But they're a mad bunch of lads. If you want to go and see some Scottish lads, I would recommend Roscoe McClelland or Christopher MacArthur Boyd. I've been on tour with the two of them. I've worked with the two of them, and they're two of my favourite Scottish comedians. Stand-up, traditional, a little bit weird and wacky, though, and I love the pair of them. Dylan Moran sometimes does a 1 or 2 night pop-up. He's generally with Gilded Balloon, but you have to ask for the tickets. Sometimes Dylan will come and do a full run, but you'll see his posters everywhere, and it'll probably be sold out. The tickets probably be £40-50, which is crazy. But sometimes he comes and does a little work in progress and it's secret. And it's just like, if you're in the know, you're in the know. So yeah, just go in and ask Gilded Balloon if he's playing. And then just 2 more kind of large shows. This is your trial. They have different comedians on every night and it's an audience interaction show. When you walk in, you write down something bad that you've done and they bring you on trial. They usually pick 3 or 4 people per show. And it's a bunch of comedians just nailing the audience.
That sounds really good.
It's really, really fun. Yeah. And again, the comedians interchange every night. And then the other one is Masioki. So it's just a live band, get up, sing along, karaoke. If you're pissed, a few pints, want something different from a comedy show, it's quite good.
Perfect.
So now we move on to our tip section.
So yeah, the general kind of...
We have general tips and then we've got fringe tips. Yeah. So do you want to stick with the general tips?
Well, the general tips, basically, first and foremost, you will not have any coverage in any building in Edinburgh.
No.
Like, it's terrible. Like, I had to ask so many times for Wi-Fi in every pub. And some of them didn't give me the password.
Yeah.
So you just have to go outside. If you're a smoker, you're lucky because you go outside and check on your phone. But like, we were in the situation where we were waiting on a friend and none of us had reception. So we just kind of had to go outside and call him several times.
Yeah.
So that's annoying. And I would say as well, for Edinburgh in general, it's built up on a hill. So there's a lot of streets that suddenly just go straight down. So you'd be walking up, walking down. So wear good shoes. Don't be us and wear Birkenstocks.
No.
The entire time. We had runners, which is fair enough, but like, we are Birkenstock people.
Yeah. Like, because I know Edinburgh well enough now, I know not to be going up and down. Oh, there are routes.
You knew the routes. You knew the routes that had the most gentle hills.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. But just be prepared for a good bit of walking. It is a large city. It stretches. Mm-hmm. And you will be, especially during the fringe, just like
walking around
a lot. So wear good shoes. I found it difficult as well to use Google Maps because there is so many different levels and bridges cross other streets. I would say just correlate with your phone, look up and see the street name that you're beside on the wall.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult city to drive in. I know a friend of mine was coming into the city centre and it took him 7 drives around the city centre to actually get to the street that he wanted, because a lot of it can be one way and then a lot of it is built on multiple levels.
Yeah, so you think you're going left, but really it wants you to go off a bridge. So
yeah.
Pay attention to that. That is definitely a big one. Also, another obvious one for Scotland, you're not far from the coastline. Bring a jacket. Bring a waterproof jacket.
It will most likely be raining. Sometimes in August, you can get really lucky with the weather.
But... Yeah, and also, we got really lucky, but also, you know, an umbrella might just fold up and blow away in here because it is the northeast.
Yeah, it's windy enough.
It's windy and rainy. So bring a nice waterproof jacket, good shoes. Don't use your phone inside because you can't.
No.
And yeah, Google Maps is an adventure.
Yeah. So fringe tips. Obviously, if you've no interest in the fringe, do not go to Edinburgh in August. Everything's triple the price. There's, you know, 3 million extra people in the city centre. So if you've no interest in going to the fringe, just avoid August like the plague. July is still really nice and September is still really nice. So, you know, go then. If you are coming to the fringe, be aware that right in the middle of the fringe, the Monday and Tuesday, so for 2024, it's going to be the 12th and the 13th. A lot of artists just take that off. It's just known as like the dead days. People like are
hump of the fringe.
It's the hump of the fringe. People are getting tired. Artists get tired as well. So they generally take either the 12th or the 13th or both the days off.
Yeah.
So just be aware that Monday and Tuesday, a lot of shows can be cancelled. So if you're like, oh, this is a steal, I'll go and stay for that.
This is all really cheap and there's all tickets are really cheap. Yeah. Because a lot of shit is closed.
Also, the last Monday of the Fringe, I think this year it's on the 26th, most of the shows are done. They just pack up and finish on that Sunday. So then for the free Fringe shows, just book it in advance. It's a fiver for most of the free Fringe shows. And if you book it in advance, it means as well, like for the artists, they get their ticket sales and it means a lot to them to know, even if just 3 or 4 people book in advance, they know that they actually have a show that day.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than people rocking up and they don't, like, there's nobody pre-booked.
We've seen it a lot. I've seen it firsthand where, like, you have an artist who's nervous and she's asking or they're asking, oh, like, how many ticket sales do I have? And you have to be like, oh, you only have like 3 or 4. And then they get kind of sad and depressed.
And then a big queue for him.
So and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, there's like 40 people. So they go from being kind of disappointed to being really nervous because in their mind they were getting ready to do a 5-person show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have to click on and do a 40-person show. Mm-hmm. So then they get the jitters and it's just...
Yeah. The other...
book in advance would be nice.
The other thing is just, likewise, there could be a 40-seater venue and there might be 35 tickets sold and you're like, oh, I'll just take the punt. And you wait in the queue and then there's no space. We've had people scream in our face. We've had people saying, well, I was standing around for an hour. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't pre-book.
Yeah.
So it's, if you're not willing to spend the fiver £5 to go and see an hour long show where somebody's putting their heart on the line. Do you know what? Don't fucking go.
Yeah.
I really think don't go. Likewise, it's, you know, there's a bucket at the end of every show, and a lot of artists now have gotten the little card machines, so they do accept card at the end. Give them a fiver minimum. Like, yeah. Don't be a cheap bastard being like, oh, I'll put £2 in the bucket. Or we see people putting in different currency, like Australian coins or Chinese coins or something. Like, that's just really shit.
If you enjoyed it, give them a fiver. If you didn't enjoy it, give them something. Just give them something.
I think it's really, really horrible that people go in, they take up a seat, and
And then there's people outside who would have paid 5 or 10 euros to go in and see the person, and you've taken their seat and not paid anything.
If someone gave me a good time, just think of it as buying them a pint.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to buy someone a pint for an hour's worth of entertainment, then don't come to the Fringe. Just don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't
aggressive about that. But
as well, like we saw a lot of people. Well, I saw a lot of people who were trying to literally bounce from show to show to show to show to show to show to show all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that like they had a show from 3 to 4 and another show at 4, but the show at 4 was a 10-minute walk away. So then they arrive 15 minutes late to doors and say, oh, I have a ticket, can I get in? And you're like, well, no, the show started. Yeah, but I booked.
Yes. So do not show up. Don't try and book shows back to back. Always leave an hour in between. Yeah. People are not going to admit you if you're late. Like, they're just not. Even if you have a ticket.
There's nothing worse than an artist doing in the middle of their zone doing a show, and suddenly the door is open, someone walks through, especially small venue where they literally have to maybe walk up onto the stage of their seat and disrupt the entire flow of the event. Like, I had this couple who was screaming at me, being like, we booked tickets. I was like, sorry, you're late. Yeah. And then I just turned around, the cheeky chap that I am, and said, well, when you book a train ticket, does the train wait for you to get there if you're running late? They just look to me like, no, well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
The train has left the station.
The train has left the station. They're in their show. They're busy. They're concentrating. Don't disrupt them. So don't book back to back. Leave a gap.
Good etiquette. Yeah. Also, just don't talk through shows. Don't be an arsehole. Don't go pissed and start screaming. Like, we've encountered so many horrible audience members, and like some of the horror stories I've heard from the lads. Again, I've worked in comedy for fucking years now. Some people are just outrageous.
Yeah.
If you're coming on a stag, if you're coming with the lads, if you're coming on a hen and you're drinking wine all day, don't go into a show. If you want to talk, stay in the bars. There's plenty of bars. There's plenty of gorgeous garden bars.
Plenty of entertainment with a few of the locals at the bar you can make yourself.
Exactly. But yeah, just be respectful. Go in, be quiet, laugh at the jokes, and don't be an arsehole.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bit of a rant there.
A little bit of a rant. We need to do that to protect the artists, because they're a lovely bunch of lads who are trying their best.
Yeah. If you are on a super budget and maybe there's a show that you want to see, there is a 2-for-1 hut. It's just by the Fringe office on the Royal Mile, and they have shows there that are generally 2-for-1, mostly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, when ticket sales might be a little bit lower. People will put their shows on, so you can get £2.50 for a ticket. Just go and book it. Which brings me to just download the Fringe app and book your tickets on there. It's a very simple, easy to use system.
Yeah.
Then they can just scan your tickets. You can get in a different queue. You don't have to be waiting with all the other cheap plebs. And it just makes everything simpler.
It was very handy. We got into a queue without a ticket while we were waiting for the doors to open. We bought the tickets in the queue. They're ready to rock.
Mm-hmm.
Download on your phone. Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. So that was really good.
And it saves all your tickets and shows you where all the venues are and all the rest of it. So just use the Fringe app.
My favorite tip
is
wear a lanyard around town.
Yes.
Put a lanyard around your neck with a little piece of paper or something, so that the thousands and thousands and thousands of flyerers will just think that you're another flyerer or another worker, and they won't try and put up some sort of a speech. Like, I've seen guys literally fake injury in front of someone, like, ow, 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 and like go down on their knee and be like, sorry, can you hold that for a second, and pass you a flyer, and then get up and be like, lol, and run away.
Yeah. It's just like, God damn it.
Yeah. God damn it. I got stuck again.
But yeah, just.
I have to say, he was very good. That was
yeah,
very
he
funny.
Was good. Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of flyers will just keep on updating you because that's their job.
Yeah.
And if you want to walk peacefully around, if you already have your shows, you know, you can say no, but some of the, you know, the people who are born to be flyers, they will not accept no for an
like
answer.
Like me. So yeah, just wear your all blacks, put on your sunglasses, wear a set of keys even.
Yeah, that's what I did. Keys on a Jamison lanyard around my neck.
Yeah, they'll just leave you alone. So.
They won't disturb you. So yeah. Sorry, flyers, but you're not getting us today.
Also, once you take one flyer, all of the other flyers will emerge. So just say no. be respectful with a smile, please, because the flyers have a really tough time.
Or, you know, it's like you might get a random flyer and it could be the show of your dreams. So if you're that kind of person who wants to take a punt, take a punt, take a punt. But I think our favorite person who we ever got a flyer off was the Count in.
Oh my God, Banshee's, he was amazing.
Labyrinth. He was just dressed as Dracula and he put on an accent and he was incredible. And in fairness to him, what was it? He spent 4 hours a day making tiny little scrolls that were wrapped in a red ribbon. And he's like, you have been invited to this event. And it's just like, it felt so grandeur.
It was amazing. Yeah.
We really wanted to go. We didn't have the time. We had to pick one show over
it. Either Paul Curry or him. Yeah.
And because I really wanted to see Paul Curry, we decided to go.
And our other day that we were off was the 15th, and he wasn't on the 15th.
He wasn't on the middle day. Yeah, the middle day, he wasn't on. So unfortunately, we couldn't go to the Count, but just his pure attitude of it, like, we ran into him a few times and like on the streets at night, and he was,
shout out to him. If you're looking
if
for
he's
a
playing
show,
this year,
go and see the Count.
Go and see the Count. He'll be rocking around a pub. He'll be the man dressed as Dracula.
Although, yeah, maybe just look up, he might have a different name or a different show for this year. But
was just incredible. I think Lucy knew him, so we must find out his details.
We'll put him in there.
He was my favorite flyer because he was flyering for himself, just in a very cool way where he just produced a scroll from his cape.
He was also amazing where we were closing our site at 4:30 in the morning. And he came staggering around the corner. He had obviously had a couple of pints after his own show. And we were like, no, man, we're really sorry. Site's closed. Yeah. Like, you know, we're all going to bed. And he was like, and he just like grabbed his cape.
He just flicked his cape over his face. But I've only just woken up.
I just wanted to give him a drink just for that.
Died laughing, like, and he was apparently, then we found out later, the friend of our venue owners, and he came back a few times and we were like, we love you, we haven't seen your show but we really want to come.
Yeah, and I was delighted actually because his show started off quite quiet, I believe, at the beginning of the Fringe, and then towards the end he was getting sellouts, so that is another final tip just for the Fringe, is that if you come in the last week, a lot of the really good shows are going to be sold out.
Yeah,
so maybe if you've already booked in to come in the last week, have a look at all the reviews that are coming out. You can look at like the Skinny, you can look at the Edinburgh Fringe website and just see what shows are getting really good reviews and maybe book based on that. Because if you come in the last week, all the good stuff is going to be, not all the good stuff. Obviously, there'll still be some people, but the good stuff tends to just really, really start to sell out towards the end. So that's it. That's our big Edinburgh special/Fringe. We'll be doing a bonus episode about if you want to come and work the Fringe, how to get a job and where to stay and how to not lose all of your money. And then for next season, I'll be interviewing a special guest comedian who will be talking about all the perils of what to do if it's your first Fringe and how to get some bums on seats. So
there we go.
Anything else to add, Corbuck?
Go to Edinburgh, have a great time. Fringe is incredible. Even if you're working it, it feels like a holiday, even if you're working 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's incredible. The people are beautiful. And
great experience.
Amazing experience. I go back in a heartbeat. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. If you enjoyed, please follow us at The Irish Podcast.
We're at The Irish Podcast now on all major social media networks, including TikTok and Instagram. So please give us a follow. And thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.
See you in the next one.